Place on this planet, I'd rather be as many places we could be. We could be dead and in hell. We could be out there homeless on the streets. We could be an addict out there struggling with drugs or alcohol. We could be jail and prison. But God in His mercy has us sitting in church this morning. I want to thank God for the singing this morning. Impact your world. How are you impacting your world? Let me just ask the church this, and I'll ask you a question that includes all of us. How many people this week came knocking on your door want what you have spiritually? Then how are we impacting our world? What impact are we making on those today? We all agree that we're in the last days, but what impact are we making on the lost community? Why are there empty pews in this church if we're making such an impact on the people around us? You see, we need to challenge ourselves every day, you see, because when Jesus Christ ran into people, He changed lives. And now He tells us to go out there and do that same thing. You go out there and preach. He says, be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. My friends, I look around at many churches and we travel around on deputation, and I look and I go, man, if them people have hope, I don't want their hope. Why would I want your hope when all I see is sad faces? No. What kind of hope is that? What kind of hope is the world seeing in a person that they say, I want what that person has? Come to realize that them people don't have hope. Come to watch church people and their lives and watch how they live their lives outside of church, and I listen to the way they talk and I go, my goodness, it's not a wonder why people are dropping off into hell. You know that now that if you go online, you can search and it tells you how many people died and what the hell is all these numbers flashing and all that. You know, part of that's our responsibility, church. Right. We can't blame the government for everything. You can't blame President Joe Biden for what's going on in churches today or what's going on in our neighborhoods. For to make an impact on our church, on our communities, we need to get out there and be more like Jesus and less like us. If we're anything, look, I thank God. Look, I'm not perfect. I'm not preaching sinless perfections. That doesn't happen. But my goodness, when people aren't seeing Jesus in us, then what hope are they looking at us for? We've got nothing to share. I believe a lot of people that are sitting in churches have lost the hope that used to be in them. And now they don't go out there and share that hope anymore because they've lost that hope. God help America. God help the churches. God help us to get. Look, we're not ever going to go back to the way it used to be. That's done. It's over with. We're heading into end times. It's a wrap. We're living in different times and people are different. But yet we try to use the same tactics to win them to Jesus Christ that they did way back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and it ain't working.
That's right.
Why are church doors closing, brother? I can name six door churches that are closing right now. It's not always what you have here. When you travel around, it's not what you guys have here. You have something special going on here. You have people that come to church. This isn't everywhere. Churches are closing, next generation. Some of these people sitting here may not be here in 2 or 3 years. What impact are you going to make for that empty seat? Is there another young couple that's going to come in and be able to take that place and be able to fill that pew and come in here and worship God and serve God the way that person did? If so, if that's the case, then why are so many churches closing down today? Because there is a generation the book of Proverbs talks about. And there's that generation who thinks they're clean in God's eyes, but yet they have not been washed. Why? Because their life does not reflect anything of Jesus Christ. You ever hear the term this, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck? Well, look, let me tell you, if you sound like the world and you dress like the world and you look like the world, you're of the world, my friend. And you know what? People out there already see enough of the world. They're looking to see something different in you. Proverbs 26. I appreciate the church having us in here. And I appreciate the invite from Pastor Pete. Love the man. I've known known him many, many years. I got out of prison in 2002.
Like, no, he didn't.
But I knew Pastor Pete when back in prison. He was a young guy. They have so many kids. He didn't. And he was one of the realest people that I used to see come into that jail. Now, there's a lot of religious workers that come to jail and prison because everybody thinks they have an answer. But there was nobody who could come in and sing like he sang. And that man put his heart into that. And that made an impact. There's men that are out there today that are dead and in hell that Pete sang to. There are men and women out there that many jail and prison ministries that went in there and tried to help. And you know what? They didn't take heed to that. But it was through the preaching of the Word of God by those men at Old Time Baptist that seed was planted in my heart. And it took me another 9 years after I got out of prison to get saved. I went back to my old lifestyle thinking I had to answer. You see, because I made a profession. Let me just say this. Profession is not salvation. That's Jesus right. Christ is. I don't care how many professions a person makes. When a person gets saved, it changes their life. Yeah. It makes an impact on their life. It makes an impact on others' lives around them. But look, it says here in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 24. Proverbs 26 and verse 24. And we'll just spend a few minutes here on this word here. Proverbs 26, 24. It says that he that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. To dissemble, my friends, is one who hides or speaks under a false appearance. Someone who conceals or pretends or conceals the real facts or their incentives behind what they say. I have many people who come up to me and after service and stuff, and they shake my hand, and they got a smile on their face, but I can see right through them that they do not mean what they are saying to me. That's somebody who's being fake. They're pretending that they care about what was preached. Then I have people who don't come up, who don't talk to me. I thank God for those people. You know why? Because at least they're being real. But those who fake it, hey, God is not happy with that. But I want you to see here, it says, dissembleth, that ETH, when you see that ETH, this is why we have a wonderful book called the King James Bible. But the ETH, anytime you see that on the end of a King James Bible word, it means something that continues to happen. This person who dissembles is not just happening one time. It's a constant thing going on in their life. And what's it bringing? It's bringing deceit within them. They're being deceived. They're being tricked by what they're saying out of their own mouth. They're being tricked into believing that what they said is the truth and it's a lie. And there's a deceit within them, and it's something that continues to happen, whether they're speaking of the Bible, whether they're speaking of things going on in their life, or whether they're speaking to a visitor. Oh, that was a great message, and they couldn't stand it in their heart. They hate that person. God goes on, and it says in Psalm chapter 12, verses 2 and 4, says, they speak vanity one with another, with his neighbor. That word vanity means something that means of none effect. It means nothing. It's worthless. It says, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. And the Lord shall cut off all the flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, with our lips are our own. Who is this Lord over us? You see, that flattering is going out there and building somebody up under a false pretense. You're doing it because you want to win favor. And I watch it happen all the time when I travel around and I go all these preaching meetings and I see preachers in there blowing each other's heads up. Oh, man, that was, And all they're doing is trying to gain favor by what? Flattering them. But you know what God did? God used flattery to destroy Israel, and he's doing it today to destroy church members. Because people are quick to say things out of their mouth because they're trying to flatter that person. They're trying to gain favor with that person under a false pretense.
And it's destructive to the church. It's destructive to church people to get into that. Why? Because the Bible just called it vain. It means nothing. It's worthless.
When something is spoken of about being worthless in the Bible, then you better believe that's worthless to God.
He put it in there. And it says they dissemble with their lips. They cover what they are really feeling about that person or that the people of that church or whatever. It's a thing that they're covering up, but not only so, they speak lies to cover what they're really feeling, and it's called being vain. There's a physical action in your Bible that a person who's dissembling takes on, and it's called feign. F-E-I-G-N. What does that word feign mean? To feign is somebody who forms an idea or a conception of something that's not real.
Well, I dressed up in this suit and tie. I'm a saved person because I look good and I dress right and I carry a King James Bible and I'm sitting in church. What it says here, to make a show of, to pretend, to be counterfeit. Unfortunately, there's a lot of that taking place in our churches today. A lot of counterfeit. People who call themselves Christian, they come to church and they make it look real good while they're in church, and they make it look real wonderful, like I'm just this person who lives for Jesus Christ. I'm this person who lives to do the things that Christ would have. I'm going to go out there and make an impact in the world. And as soon as they get out, they have forgotten everything that was preached. You know what happens? The preaching never changes them because they shut it off in their heart. But yet they learn how to dissemble. They learn how to be feign. They learn how to pretend. This, what I'm wearing today, doesn't make me a Christian. This is an effect of what happened because I became a Christian. You see, this ring is not my marriage. It's a symbol of what? That I'm married. The way I've changed, the way I dress today is not because I'm trying to earn my way to Jesus Christ. I'm trying to earn acceptance, or I'm trying to put out there to make myself look like something that I'm not. It's because something changed on the inside of me. And now I feel like that, people say, well, I only wear skirts, I only dress up for church, so God's not outside of church. That's somebody who's being feigned. That's somebody who's dissembling. That's somebody who'll talk church while they're in church, and then when they get out of church, forget all about it. They don't talk about it again. You know what God says? They don't keep God in all their thoughts. You know, if we kept God more in our thoughts, the less we'd walk away from Him. And look at, I had a man tell me this one time, Brother John. He said, look at, you don't physically have to leave church to leave church. Spiritually, you can sit in this pew week after week after week after week and be the farthest thing from God than you've ever been. Hey, man, why are you preaching on this? I don't know. Ask God. This was not the message. Hey, I'm just going to tell you this now. This was not the message that I prayed and thought God wanted me to have. This is not. I told my wife last night. I said, God changed the message up. I don't ever come in here and think I know where I should preach. I don't even know your church. I don't even know any of you. I mean, I met you maybe one time. I don't know you. But I know God knows you. Don't get mad at me. Don't get upset when I preach. I promise you, I didn't come in here with any intentions whatsoever, having no clue about anybody that's sitting in these pews. Didn't know you were from Rochester to come here to visit tonight.
Reach out, man.
God knows. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. Let me show you a definition of feign. Do you know the King James Bible will define itself? The problem is you just have to go in there and find it. You have to go in. It takes a little time. So I said study to show yourself approved. Study. You know what study means? Study by workman. W-O-R-K. Today people don't want to study because it's W-O-R-K. It's work.
Right.
People today have gotten the notion that anything that has the word work in it, they don't want to do it. You say, well, you must look at. I'm not against books. I'm not against anything you might use as a tool. Get that tool, not the Bible. Books that men write, commentaries, those are tools. Dictionaries, those are tools. That is not the Bible. But today, people are taking the opinion of the tools over the Bible. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I don't even read them. I don't get into them.
Good.
Why? Because you know what? This Bible can define itself for me. The Holy Ghost said he'll teach me all things that Jesus Christ said. And if he could teach me all things, if he taught that person who wrote the commentary, who wrote the dictionary, or whatever else, then why can't he teach me the same? Or not, if not, something different that doesn't go along with what they say. You see, I hear people today tell me this. They say, well, you know, now, I know that verse says that, but this book that was written says this. I don't care less about that book.
That's good.
You can take that book and burn it. Goes against the King James Bible. I don't play with it. You know, here it is. I preached it this morning. People have lost the ability to believe that God can teach them this Bible without man stepping in and putting their knowledge in it. We've become a lazy generation in study. We depend on our pastors, our preachers, Sunday school teachers, and everybody else to teach us our Bible. Instead of getting along with God on our own, studying it out, put the time in there. My pastor said this, Dale, you'll never find time to study the Bible. You have to make time. It's funny how we can make time for everything else on the planet, but, oh, I don't have time to read today, or I got to hurry up and get through this Bible and read it today. The most important thing on the planet, we want to rush through it. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 21. Look what it says here. 1 Samuel chapter 21. We'll start in verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 21. We'll start in verse 10. I got to get there myself. I'm speaking too much. 1 Samuel 21. Look what it says here. Starting in verse 10. It's 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. This is what it says. It said, David arose and he fled that day for fear of Saul. And he went to Achish, the king of Gath. So David's on the run from Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. In verse 11, it says, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is this not David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying Saul had slain thousands and David his 10,000s? In verse 12 it says, and David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of the king of Achish and the king of Gath. And what did he do? In verse 13 it says, he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate. And let his spittle fall down upon his beard. You know what David just did? He pretended to be something he wasn't.
Right.
He was feigned. He feigned himself. And that's what a lot of people do in churches today. They feign themselves to be a saved person. They feign themselves to be a Christian. They feign themselves so much that people look at that and go, oh, wow, that must be a Christian person sitting there. That must be a Christian. But yet, all they've done is put on a good show. Jesus Christ isn't looking for a good show, my friends. He's looking for us to walk with him. The message tonight is about walking with Jesus Christ. You'll notice there in the Bible, he never says walk beside him. Everybody says, well, you know, let's walk next to Jesus. He doesn't say that. He doesn't tell you to walk in front of him. He tells you to walk behind him. Follow me.
Yeah.
Follow me. But people are too busy trying to take the lead. They're trying to walk by Jesus Christ instead of following him and letting him lead us. That leads us to a lot of bad places. Look at it says, and there are many sitting in churches right now that hear the preaching but do not listen. They hear the sound of the preacher's voice but are deaf to listening of the word of God. Jeremiah 6:10 says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. How do you know that a person has not only heard the word of God, but have listened to the word of God? It changes their life. You can hear. There are many sitting in this room who can hear the sound of my voice. And all it sounds like is the Charlie Brown cartoon. Wah, 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 wah. Because they're not, you know why? They're not listening. Listening proves that you heard exactly what the Holy Ghost had to say from that Bible. It will make an impact on your life, and you will leave here differently than when you come in here.
That's good. Yes, sir.
That's the whole point of church. The whole point of preaching is to build up our faith, not to just encourage us, but to exhort us. Is there a difference? Yes, encourage means somebody has lost their courage. And they need, it's a short-term thing. But to exhort means it's a teaching that will last a long time. We're to be not only encouraged, but to be exhorted. We're to leave this place with something. You mean to tell me within that Bible's being preached, there ain't something that you can take out of here that will impact your life? Is it because the Word of God has lost its effect or its power? No, it's fallen on uncircumcised ears. It's fallen on ears that will not hear. As Jeremiah 10 says, it's fallen on ears that have no delight in it. When you delight in the things of God, it'll reflect in your life. You know, believe is in your Bible 161 times, 17 times in the Old Testament. The word believe, did I say delight? I meant believe if I said it. The word believe is in your Bible 161 times, 17 in the Old Testament. The rest is in the New Testament. 84 times in the book of John by itself. And that word believe comes with the action of this. When somebody believes something in the Bible, they did an action. It made them do something. If you believe something in that Bible, you will do something. You cannot hear something in this Bible, believe it, and then it will have no effect on your life. That's not the definition of belief from the King James Bible. When you believe something in that Bible, you will do something about it. That's the whole thing. That's what God does. It's the power of the preaching. It changes our lives. It doesn't leave us the same that we've always been. When we believe it. It's awfully quiet in here. I'm not going to say it's awfully heavy in here. It's heavy. Yeah. Probably the heaviest I've ever been in a place to preach. Wow. The heaviest. Wow. I'm just going to say this so everybody can hear it live. There is no liberty for me to preach right now. Zero. And I've never done that before, ever.
Preach on, man. Preach on.
And I'm just going to preach, and if you don't like the message, that's fine. Plug your ears.
Yeah. Say it.
But I'm just going to tell you this. Pray for me. Because there's no liberty right now for me in this church, and I don't know what it is, Brother Josh, but it's heavy. It's heavy. I've never preached in a church that's been this heavy for me. And I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But I know right now it's heavy. And I need some of you old men, some of you old ladies, pray for me. That's what needs to happen. God needs to get in here and loosen this up. It ain't about me. It's about God coming into this service and loosening it up. Because whatever's happening here, I don't know what it is. I have no clue. I can't tell you. But I know right now we need some praying men and women to start praying. Faithful young men, faithful young lady. You pray that God would open up this service. Help the preacher. Not because I want to get up here and preach what I have to preach. No, because God wants to do something. There are many, as Jeremiah 6:10 says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears uncircumcised, they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight. Look at Amos chapter 8. Look at Amos. If you can't find it, don't worry about it. Amos chapter 8. Well, verse 11. And Amos is going to tell us a little bit of something here. Why people aren't taking an interest in the word of God. Why this is happening. Look at Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, behold, that means to stop and take a look. He said, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor of thirst of water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you today, we are in a famine of people hearing the words of God anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not in a famine of not having enough bread and water. That's obvious to a duck. What the sad thing is, we're in a famine of hearing the words of God and having an impact on our life. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there. 42 verses 20 and 21 says, for you dissembled in your hearts. And when you sent me unto the Lord God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us. And so what they're saying here is, Jeremiah is talking to the people. He says, look, you tell me to go and pray for you to God. You tell me to go in my prayer closet, and you tell me to go ahead and get a hold of God. You want me to pray for you. And so it goes on and it says, pray for us, and according to the Lord our God, so declare unto us, and we will do.
Hey, preacher, hey, pastor, hey, Sunday school teacher, please get a hold of God for us. Please come in here and preach that Bible. When's the last time one of you guys fasted for your pastor? What? Let me ask you this, and be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. But when's the last time you expected God to show up in the service? What are we coming here for? Tell me, what are we coming here for? A social gathering? Why do we come to church? To see each other? I can see you on the outside. The most important thing on this planet when we come in here is hear the word of God and expect God to show up and do something in some people's lives. Jeremiah says, pray. He goes, then come back and tell us and we'll do it. And Jeremiah says, and now I have done this this day, and I declare it unto you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything, for he that which he has sent me said unto you. He goes, I wouldn't pray just like you said. God gave me a message. I told you exactly what God told you to do, and now you won't do it. God, we've learned how to be faint. We've learned how to come to church and listen, hurry up, get this over with, do what we got to do, and back out the door again. Not a wonder the Holy Ghost doesn't bring conviction when we don't prepare our hearts even for church. Hey, well, you know, we see it in special meeting, right? Everybody's hyped up. Look, I was here at marching. Everybody, most everybody that I've noticed here, everybody's amening and everything else during a special meeting. Why not during the regular preaching?
There you go.
Really, have you prepared your heart for preaching? How many of you prayed for me this morning? Thank you. I appreciate that. Because it's not about me. We need praying people to help. When a man gets up here and has a responsibility to preach the word of God, and he's got a responsibility to get what God has given them out there, and those men need prayer. Those women need prayer. Singing. When's the last time you sang for the people that sing here? Or prayed for them? You know what he says? Speak to yourselves in spiritual hymns and songs. Right?
Yeah.
So singing is just as important to God. But when's the last time you have prayed for the people who sing and play instruments in this church? That God would use that. I know many people who come to an altar during songs.
Yep.
They get right with God or they get saved. Why? Because singing. God loves singing. He loves hearing the melody. He loves hearing those voices being lifted up. But yet to us in church, we don't even pray for singing anymore. We don't even pray for the singers. We're just expecting them to get up here, run through what they're going to run through, sit back down, and let's just be on our way. That's called being faint. It's pretending. Let's not pretend. You know, there's somebody out there today. I was watching, I don't know who this guy is next door, but I was watching him during Sunday school out there smoking cigarettes on his phone. Looked like he was having a terrible time. Why is he sitting in the church pew here? How many times have we been over there and tell that man about the hope that's in these walls? If you did, wonderful. Wonderful. That's good, great. Keep it up, though. He didn't just tell you to do it one time. I thank God that men came in and preached to me when I was in prison. But when I got out, men came to me and kept preaching to me. Christians, we become faint. We become dissembled in our hearts. We say things that we don't mean. We're hiding under a false pretense. We're hiding in disguise. We put on I heard a man tell me this one time. He started taking off his tie. He's like, I can take off my uniform. What a shame. That's a disgrace. Taking off a uniform to leave church? It's not a uniform, my friend. You're dressing for a holy God. You're doing it for him. Not because it's a uniform. If this ever becomes a work for me, God, sit me down in a pew. Let me go to heaven from there. I don't need it. I forbid. Jeremiah 3:10. I'll be done here in a minute. I won't keep you much longer. Jeremiah 3:10 says this, for all his treacherous sister Judah hath he not turned unto me with a whole heart, but faintly, saith the Lord. Many people come up to the altar and they'll pray and they'll say, Lord, I am so sorry for this. They'll get back up, dry their tears, leave this place and forget about the very thing that God dealt with them on. Why? Because they pretended to turn to God. They pretended like they really wanted to get it out of their life. Friend, let me tell you this. When you're serious, the Holy Ghost knows you're serious, and that thing will come out of your life. And you won't likely forget about it when you leave. Thank God, when the man of God preached to me, brother, the night I got saved, and I ran out of that church, you know what? I didn't forget about it. I didn't shake it off. I ended up getting born again, 90 and a half East Main Street, Cuba, New York. Cried out to a holy God and said, Lord, I understand that I'm a rebel against the holy God. Forgive me, I'm sorry. Got up off that floor, a new man in Christ. He said, did everything leave out of you at once? No, it did not. I'm a hard learner. That's why I always ended up in jail and prison, because I'm a hard learner. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean I'm not a hard learner. But let me tell you this right now. God doesn't just let me live my life any old way I want. He don't let me just put costumes on and come in and play pretend church.
Amen.
What I have is a reality. What I have is what God has given me. It's brought inside of me. Brother, for 40 years, you know the world tried to change me with
everything.
Mental health prescription. Okay, I understand there's a mental health issue, doctor. I get that. But let me tell you, not everybody on this planet has mental health. You know what it is? I was on 12 psychotropic pills before I got saved. How many of you think I'm on today?
None.
You know why? Because a psychiatrist forgot to tell me. If you get to Jesus, he'll cleanse your conscience. My what? Your conscience. People are defiled by their conscience. Therefore, they can try to go get a psych medicine, and what happens? It makes them worse.
Yeah.
It don't ever make them better. You know why, brother? Because when that one don't work, they'll put you on another one. And then when that one don't work, they'll compound it with another one. And compound. You know what's a sad thing? They said, watch how many church people are on psych meds. Because they've lost their joy. They've lost their relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're trying to find it elsewhere. That woman with the issue of blood turned to the doctors, it was made worse, none the better. Spent all that she had. So try to come to Jesus when they're in trouble and they want help. But this is only temporary because they came with a half a heart, not seeing what they really are in the eyes of God. Only in the hard times and the trials did they turn to the Lord, not because they wanted to change life, but because they wanted to get out of the situation. Understand that, my friend. Many people who are in trouble, they want to get out of the situation, not go to a changed life. And America, including us wonderful Baptists, have learned how to put Band-Aids on everything.
Right.
Let me just tell you a quick story about the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years. According to Leviticus chapter 15, she's unclean.
Yeah.
That means she has to be separate from everybody. That means your family has to come and bring food to you. You can't visit them unless you're yelling through the door because they would become unclean. She spent that way. She's that way for 12 years. It says that she spent all that she had in the physicians and was only made worse. They probably had her drinking potions and taking pills and standing on her head and doing everything else. And it never did anything for her. Then it says this wonderful thing that she heard about this man Jesus and that he can make her half.
No.
Oh no. But that's what people believe today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe if Jesus can take me off of this, or maybe if he can. You go ahead and come to Jesus with an if and you'll stay the same you've always been. She said, if I can get to Jesus, he can make me whole. And so she goes to Jesus Christ and the Bible calls it an issue of blood. And she gets to Jesus Christ and she touches the hem of his garment. You go, I can't touch the hem of his garment. Oh, yes, you can. It's called King James Bible, friend. You get to that and it'll change your life. She gets and touches the hem of his garment. And it says, his virtue left out of him. You mean we're not born virtuous people? All that sainthood stuff is a bunch of nonsense. We're born sinners. We need the virtue of Jesus Christ to be put inside of us. And what happens? He transfers his virtue into her, and her uncleanness goes into him. Why? Because he was made sin for us. He can't become unclean because he is fulfilling the laws and the prophets. Everybody's in the prophecy conferences and all that, but they forget about the laws he fulfilled. If he didn't fulfill the laws, you'd still be dead and going to hell today. Because he says in Matthew, I came to fulfill the laws and prophets. She touches him.
His virtue leaves her, her uncleanness goes into him. He turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And I should have got a testimony. So she's fear and trembling. She says, "It was me." She said, "Woman, thy faith has made thee whole of thy plague."
She came to Jesus Christ with an issue. You go study that word issue in your Bible, and 90% of the time it is talking about a physical outward thing that happens to a person. But a plague is the inward of a person. You see, when she came to Jesus Christ, she was going to be made whole. If people were trying to come to Jesus Christ to get rid of drugs and alcohol, being a thievery or whatever, they're only coming to Jesus Christ with an issue. He wants to get to the plague.
You see, when Jesus Christ dealt with the plague of my heart, my sin nature, those issues went away.
Amen.
Today, everybody's trying to come to Jesus Christ with their issues and walking away with their plague.
Mm.
It's never been dealt with. Okay. This whole Jesus Christ getting saved, changing life, this is a reality. This is not something that's a fable or pretend or made up. But I'm telling you, when you travel around and see many churches, as we've seen, sometimes I wonder, what in the world? They only turn when hard times come upon them. Why? Because they want out of the situation. They don't want to change life. Jesus Christ wants to change their life, not just take them out of that situation. When things start to get better, they'll turn back, turn their back on God once again. And there are people sitting in church today who've learned how to do this very thing their whole entire life. Nehemiah 6:8 says, "Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them," where? "Out of thine own heart." When a person feigns these things or pretends to be something, it's coming from their heart. Why? Because the book of Jeremiah in verse 17, 9 and 10 says, "What is the heart? And the heart is deceitful above how many things? All things."
Yeah.
All things. The only thing that can help a deceived heart is the King James Bible and the Holy Ghost of God. That is the only thing that can make a deceived heart see what they need for salvation. Why? Because our hearts are wicked above all things and deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Here's the hope. He says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." My friend, what a wonderful thing to know that there's a God in heaven who's searching our hearts to show us what's in our hearts. He doesn't need to see what's in our hearts. He already knows. But he needs for us to see it. Proverbs 20:27 says this, that God put a spirit, and that spirit, small as spirit, is a candle that lights the inward parts of our belly. Those very things that we try to hide, those very things that we try to build walls around, that hurt that we don't want to see, that thing that's in our life that we don't want to see, that's what God's trying to light up. He's not trying to show you the things you already know. He's trying to show you the things you won't pay attention to in the room you will not go in. That's what that candle's for, to light the inward parts of the belly, to show us what we really are. What is that? That's the Bible, my friend. That's the light. That's that light that's going to show us everything about ourselves, whether we're real, whether we're pretending, whether we're fake, whether we're a Christian who's backslidden, whatever it is. Let me just close with this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to close. Jesus Christ is God. Call some people out here to chapter Matthew chapter 7. Look at Matthew chapter 7. We're going to see some people who've learned how to be feigned, who've learned how to be pretend. And look what it says in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll be starting in verse 21. It's only a few verses, and then we'll close. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says this: "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." My gosh, that's a scary verse. Why? Because not everybody who says the name of Christ is a saved person. Just because a person says Jesus Christ doesn't mean that they're in. And he says, not You see, that's that belief. When God puts something in your heart, Brother Josh, and you believe it, you do it. Why? That's God's will for your life. That's God's will for every one of our lives. What is His will? That we, if you love me, keep my... If you love me. You notice how they put the if there? Because not everybody who says they love Jesus loves Jesus. If you love Jesus, you'll do what His word says. That's a reality. Look what it says there in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name? You know what that prophecy is? Preacher. There's lost pastors going to hell tonight. It's an amazing thing to watch today. Up in Brother, anybody knows Brother Craig Cobb and all those guys? We're watching pastors get saved up in Maine. We're watching pastors there, 40 years in the ministry of pastors getting saved behind the pulpit after 30 or 40 years. Why? They've learned how to be vain. They've dissembled. They've learned how to talk the talk. They've learned how to fool people with a fake life. For 40 years. You know what their only saving grace was? They preached the King James Bible and they brought them under Holy Ghost conviction and they understood and got saved. Those who prophesy doesn't mean they're saved just because they get up there and preach a Bible. They need Jesus. They need Jesus Christ. And look what it says here. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wondrous works? Haven't we done all these things, Lord? He says, yes, but that's not what I asked you to do is works. I asked you to believe on me, to see what you are in my eyes. Come to me, knowing that I finished the work by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by our works. Here it is. Let's just close with this, and then he says, I will profess unto them. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know what that work iniquity means? Somebody's putting it to work. If I give you a shovel and said, dig that hole, your work is you're digging that hole. They're doing the same thing with iniquity. They're not doing the will of the Father. They're working iniquity, but with their mouth and with their lifestyle that you look around the church, it looks like, no, they are a Christian, but they're working iniquity because that iniquity means lawlessness. Okay? Sin and iniquity are two different words. They're even spelled differently, just in case you might not realize that. But iniquity is the lawlessness of the heart. It's that directly when God tells you to don't do something in your heart, you go, I'm going to do it anyway. And then whatever you do is the sin. And there are people sitting in church today who are working iniquity. And they're going to stand before a holy God. Imagine standing before Jesus Christ and he says, depart from me. What a sad day. You know why? Because at that point it's over. There's no turning back. You know what it says he's going to do? He's going to bring those angels down. And know this, each angel has the strength of 1,000 men. And it's going to take 2 angels to throw you in hell. Why? Because you're not going to voluntarily go there. Imagine that. 2 angels coming down, binding you hand and foot. Each of them have the strength of 1,000 angels. And they're going to carry you to the pit of eternity and hell forever. Hell is hot and eternity is long. Yeah. What are you professing? Are you being vain? Are you being pretend? No, Brother Dale, we're a good church. I didn't say that. But good churches have lost people in it.
Right.
My wife often tells me this. She says, honey, my testimony is really not going to be good for the men and women that are in jail and prison. I said, honey, they need to know that good church people need to be saved too.
Amen.
Yeah. Her testimony is so powerful. You know why? Because those men and women in jail and prison only think people like me need to be saved. And then when they look at my wife and hear, She's a good church girl according to this world. Comes from a really good family. That she needed to be saved. That blows her mind. Why? Because good church people need to be saved. Pastors are getting saved today. Can I just say this? I don't know you guys, and I hope to be able to make friends with you guys. But I know this, God gave me this message for this church. This was not what I had in my heart.
Thank you.
Somebody somewhere, something, maybe, it doesn't mean you have to be lost. I'm not trying to make you confused, I'm trying to get you into thinking you're lost. But God gave me a message. Whether you're a Christian who's backslid and you're not living right, you guys want to come out and play piano? Somebody who's not living right as a Christian, a backslider maybe, and you're pretending and your words are fake because you can't find the real words anymore, so you're just relying on everything that you've always known. And maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning, and He wants you to see that this life isn't going to make an impact on anybody living that way. Or how about it, my friend? Maybe you are a lost church person. And it's okay. You know why? Because I sat in the church pews for 4 years as a lost man. Sitting under preaching the Word of God. But what I refused to see is that I was a rebel against the Holy God because I kept trying to come to the altar with worldly sorrow. With the thing, I'm sorry for being a convict. I'm sorry for being a drunk. I'm sorry for being a drug addict. And God said, that's not what I have against you. You're a rebel against me. You've broken my laws. This is why you need forgiveness. This is why you need the blood of Jesus Christ. How about it? My wife sat for 4.5 years in the church before she got saved. Why? Because we learn how to put on an air. We learn how to be this dishevel. We learn how to be fame. Put on that air of we're really a Christian. Everybody's head bowed, eyes closed.